Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. We had to audible because he is very gracious to take the time to join us. We'll kick the show off with longtime coach at Northwestern in Colorado, Gary Barnett. He is also doing national radio tonight, West Virginia and Baylor, a little Big 12 action. Coach Barnett, did you crank up John Denver all the way to the stadium?
No, I didn't, but we're going to hear it tonight for sure. And I can guarantee you it's going to be blasting around this place. So, if you haven't been here, Chris, this is a beautiful place, man. And it just reeks of college football and, a passionate, crazy, wild fan base. We drove down from Chicago Pittsburgh, and I swear it's a 45-minute drive, and it took us almost 2 hours just because traffic coming in here on a Thursday night. So it's crazy. I love doing games here, and I think we've got a really good game here tonight. Possibly, you never know, but it's got the makings of a good one.
Well, I mean, you've got the air raid with Holgorsen. You've got elements of the athletes in air raid from Baylor. And I know there was a coaching change in Baylor, and the guy's name's escaping me that came from Temple.
Matt Rhule.
Yeah, Matt Rhule. I mean, he had good things going at Temple. So a lot of points, Big 12 style. And, I've never been that far east. I've not been to West Virginia. I've been through the Smokies, but nothing further north. And West Virginia has always been one of those programs that's pretty good. And I go back to the Hostetler days and Major Harris, and they're always just there. They find skill guys, and they do a great job of recruiting Pennsylvania and the surrounding areas.
Yeah, they certainly do. And when Roderick was just here, they had a lot of kids from Florida. And right after 2005, I came out here and spent a week with Rich in the spring and then another week in the fall before the season started, because I wanted to learn what he was doing, because you could sort of see it was all coming and people were going to be going in that direction. And I wanted to know how it works, but more than that, I wanted to know how to stop the doggone thing. So I got to spend a lot of time here and just got to love everything about it. And so it's a great football place.
Gary Barnett's live in the press box, West Virginia, Baylor tonight. Coach, I want to switch gears, talk Nebraska for a second. And Nebraska finally got their win. The offense looked good. The defense had a little bit of shakiness, but came through with some turnovers. And what was your impression of Adrian Martinez with what he was able to do? Getting the accolades, well-deserved, but Coach, he's been able to stack some games now where he's looking pretty dynamite.
Well, there wasn't any question, when we played him there, that he had a great one. And it's just a matter of, surrounding him with the kind of players that will let him do his thing even more proficiently, and then, find a way to play better defense. And he's just a spectacular player. And the hard thing is going to be recruiting somebody behind him, because it's everybody's going to look at him and see him as a 3-year starter, or 4-year starter. So it's going to be really hard to recruit anybody behind him.
How did you juggle that? I mean, going forward, if coaches call you up for advice, or even when you were coaching, how did you not leave the cupboard bare, but also worry about the now, right? Because you got a good one.
Well, you've got to always be looking ahead. Great leaders, created their successor. And so you've got to do that. But the guys that you're going to get are going to be a guy who just wants to be at Nebraska so bad. that it doesn't make any difference whether Martinez is there or not. And a lot of times that'll come down an in-state player who wants to play for Nebraska. And that's how you do it. But the other thing is, of course, is that, you know, he missed a game. He missed a couple games because he couldn't play, because when you play that position in that offense, you know, kids get banged up and they lose games. And so, you know, you're going to have a chance to fill in. You're going to have a chance to play. And so, you know, when you come and then, you know, see what happens. You can compete. But more than likely, you know, unless it's just somebody who wants to be at Nebraska and is a great player from out of state, you know, you're going to have to probably get an in-state kid that's really good. And you won't have any trouble getting that. But that's the hardest thing, especially quarterbacks, because they leave if they're not playing.
Gary Barnett's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. He is doing West Virginia and Baylor tonight, and that'll kick off at 6. We're moving him up an hour because he's kind enough to join us from Mountaineer country. Coach, what do you make of Ohio State and Urban Meyer? There's been lots of speculation this week from Feinbaum to other people in Columbus that maybe Urban's done after this year. They don't lose very often, so there's a panic when they do. And their last several losses have been in blowout fashion. Now, what's your assessment of the situation in Buckeye Land?
Well, it's, you know, I think a lot of that is speculation, but, you know, he's got a little bit of history to that. And, you know, he left Florida much the same way and took time off. So, he knows how to do that. He knows what to say. And so it's not like it's going to be a new road for him to travel down. I don't know whether he'll do with that or not. He's gone through a lot. He really has. I mean, it's been really tough year for him, and then trying to hold it together, then you got the Bosa thing. So it tries on you. It tries on you physically and emotionally. It tries on you with your family. Certainly doesn't need money. And he could easily just go back to the TV and do that deal. So there's a time in which sometimes you say to yourself, you know, I think I'll just build a Chick-fil-A out in the middle of nowhere and don't have to work on Sundays and just sit back and relax. And, you know, he may be doing that. Who knows?
Well, and I look at Urban, and the next question I have is the NFL. I mean, is it something you considered, and what separates a college guy from going to the NFL? What keeps you going?
I didn't consider it because it just wasn't me. You know, I didn't want to be someplace where the players ran the whole operation. And I was more about taking someone that's 18 and somewhat of a knucklehead and turn them into a good citizen at 22. So that, to me, that was, I knew who I was. And so I was never caught up in that. And it never appealed to me. And I think Urban's much the same way. I think, you know, Urban takes pride in teaching and getting young kids from 18 to 22. And you go through a lot. It's hard. And, you know, meanwhile, they're supposed to go to class and supposed to be great players and do all this stuff and grow up. And so, you know, the system needs people like that. And people who are committed to that. It's just like you need, you know, elementary teachers. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's much the same thing. And so I don't know whether he has interest in the NFL, but I certainly didn't.
Gary Barnett's with us. A couple more minutes. Hail Varsity Radio. He's getting ready for Northwestern. Not Northwestern, but Baylor and West Virginia. Northwestern's where I'm going. They host Wisconsin, a pivotal Big Ten West game. Coach, what do you think of that matchup? And Northwestern's been successful against Wisconsin and Evanston.
Well, yeah, there's two teams that have struggled in Evanston. One of them is Wisconsin, and the other is Iowa. And, you know, they have this grit about them. I mean, last year winning 3 games in overtime, this year winning a game in overtime, coming from behind like they did the last week. You know, they barely beat Purdue, but they beat Purdue, and that game, that win looks pretty good right now. So Wisconsin struggles. This Wisconsin's not the team I think that everybody thought they were going to be. And so even though I think Northwestern's a 7-point dog, you sort of like to take dogs at home, even though it's never really a home atmosphere for you. They actually play better on the road, I think. But Wisconsin will struggle there, and we'll just see whether Pat can keep pulling them out of the hat, because he's done it all year.
He has, and it's going to be a big game. Line's down to 4.5, Wisconsin.
Get it down to 4.5? Oh, good. Well, that's a good thing for them.
That's
somebody's seeing something. They have no run game at Northwestern. That's the only issue. They're one-dimensional now, so they got to make it work.
What did you take away and walk away with from Purdue? I mean, the win, what Brohm did, and Moore is tremendous. They just didn't beat Ohio State. They rocked them, and now they're turning around and got to handle success at Sparty, who got mauled in the rivalry game.
Well, you know, Purdue's been one of those teams all year that just you don't really want to play them, because they got those two cats that can really go, man. Mm-hmm. And they went against Ohio State. But I think Ohio State, I saw it last week when they didn't really beat up on Minnesota. Mm-hmm. The week before, they just sort of got through it. Mm-hmm. And when you get a team that's sort of getting through it instead of on a purpose, with a sense of purpose and a collective will, then they're vulnerable to that kind of game. And they got it. You know, that Purdue is coming on, and I think they beat Michigan State. Michigan State's in a little bit of a shambles right now, and so I think they're just going to keep the arrows pointing up for those guys. But that's what I saw happen last week, and I think all the stuff with Urban finally catching up to them. You can't avoid it all the whole time.
What do you make of the Michigan State spat?
It's very childish, in my opinion. It's both those two guys should be above that, in my opinion, and the players should be above it. To me, they've just fallen down to the, you know, they're no longer a cut above. They're down with everybody else who wants to act that way. And so, you know, I saw the whole thing, you know, and, you know, I thought D'Antonio was wrong. I thought Devin Bush was wrong. I thought the whole thing was wrong. And if they can't see that, they need to step back and have some discussions, because everybody else, every other reasonable person sees it as being childish and out of place and not appropriate. So they need to take a hard look at that.
Anyone ever try and deface the Buffalo at midfield?
I can't remember. You know.
Okay.
We weren't that big a threat. I did have a player stomp on the middle of Chief Osceola at Florida State, which is just what we needed, is to make those guys mad. So, you know, we didn't have one guy that looked like theirs, and so he was going to get them mad. So how much sense does that make?
How did that conversation go with your buddy that did that?
You can't believe how that conversation went. I can't repeat it. Well, let me tell you what. He's the same guy that got 0.00 his first semester in college. So it was fitting. Let's put it that way.
Some of us tried to do that in college.
Well, he was successful.
Coach, it seems like every time you come on the show, you give us a pretty good pick, one of your favorite picks of the week. But I want to get your take on this Washington State-Stanford game. Washington State has been perfect against the spread this year, and they're a 3-point underdog on the road against Stanford. Stanford's had a little bit of a tougher schedule, but Washington State's just been beaten down on their opponents, as we saw last week. So what is your prediction for the game?
Well, I was going to say, if there's a sure take in this week, and that's right where I was going, is I don't know what those guys in Vegas are thinking on this one, because if that happens, I'll be shocked. I think Washington State's so much better team than Stanford, and they're playing so much better. I could not believe it was. I had to look at it two or three times. So I just don't think there's a chance for Stanford. But you know, that's why they play. I didn't think Purdue had a real good chance, but that's the way it looks, you know.
Last thought here: Iowa at Penn State. And Penn State -6.
Yeah, I know. I was playing pretty well. Penn State's electric, and I got all that experience, but it's at Penn State. I think you got to go with Penn State. Mm-hmm. But I think this could be a heck of a game.
Bonus pick, 30 seconds, Georgia, Florida.
Georgia, I think they just they're so much a more complete team than Florida.
Okay.
I that's who I think. But they're fighting for a playoff berth. They could still be in it if they lose this game. They haven't done.
Yeah. Coach, have a great call. Thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. Have a good one. We'll get caught up with Coach Barnett next week. As Gary Barnett, live from West Virginia, as he's getting ready for the Mountaineers and Baylor. Good stuff. We like kind of going rapid fire with him. We may revisit some of his picks in the 5 o'clock hour. That might shape some of our minds for the Friday forecast. We're at the Graduate tomorrow. Fired up about that. 9th and P down in the Haymarket. Want to see you out there. Myself, Jay Moore. They have Top Golf Simulators, food and drink specials, and Hail Varsity on the Road live from 4 to 6. We will wave at Danny Burke, thinking of him back here in studio. But we'll get into some Nebraska thoughts. Scott Frost spoke today. Brandon Vogel's coming up. A new recruit for Nebraska. A 4-star athlete. Damian Chase out of Vancouver, Washington. Commit number 18. We'll have some thoughts on that. Brandon Vogel's coming up. Ralph Brown, next hour. Great to be with you on a Thursday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Good stuff from Gary Barnett as he's in West Virginia ahead of the Mountaineers and Baylor. Great comments on Adrian Martinez and what's going on with Urban Meyer. We say hi to Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Ralph Brown coming up in less than an hour. Vogues, how are we, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. What are you most intrigued about Saturday? What do you want to see from Nebraska?
I think it's pretty interesting defensively for Nebraska. Like, you know, with all due respect to Bethune-Cookman, you know, this is a game Nebraska should win. They've been better offensively so far this season. On that side of the ball, it's a little bit of name your score to me. But defensively, I think there's a chance for Nebraska to gain some confidence here. How many points do they give up to a team like this? You know, and Bethune-Cookman's better offensively too, frankly. So I'll be interested to see how the Huskers perform on that front.
Brandon Vogel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I think that's right. I think, and we kind of spent some time on it yesterday, you do you as Nebraska, run the football, throw the football, protect your quarterback, but defensively, don't get hit on some big plays, be good against the run. And to be honest, Bethune-Cookman has some players at the skill spots, quarterback and wideout, that they're good athletes. They can play ball. So yep. I think Nebraska will be tested discipline-wise, specifically the corners if they want to go man. And the quarterback is very, very mobile. It'll irritate yep. the defensive line. What's a point total and a yardage number you have in mind that is, assuming, you know, get the win, yes, but a point total and a yardage number that you have in mind?
Yeah, you know, for Nebraska, it's a little bit of name your score when the Huskers have the ball. Assuming they don't turn the ball over, which, you know, you have to be careful. Nebraska is a 1-6 team at this point, so you have to kind of try not to get carried away there. But assuming they don't go way crazy in turnovers, which we have seen a Nebraska team turn the ball over 9 times before against a Ohio State squad, not to dredge up old unsatisfactory memories, but you know, they'll be in the 50s, I think. Defensively, I think you're looking at 2 offensive touchdowns or less, or 2 offensive touchdowns allowed or less for the Huskers defense. And that's probably a pretty good day. It's hard in today's college football to really shut out a team. You know, we've seen some Big Ten teams do it. Iowa did it last week against Maryland, which is an
shocking
beat. Yep, but you know, yardage total, I think this is a defense that's going to give up some yards to just about anybody. If they hold Bethune-Cookman to 2 offensive touchdowns or less,
I'll consider that a pretty successful Saturday.
Brendan Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, I know Greg Smith does our recruiting on HailVarsity.com. We'll spend some time with him tomorrow. But a quick thought and reaction to Darian Chase, four-star athlete, Vancouver. Nebraska likes him at wide receiver. And some programs I really respect, i.e. Boise and Utah, were in on Chase. Nebraska got him. Nebraska's coaches reacting appropriately so on social media. What's your quick impression of Chase?
Yeah, pretty well. It's good to keep that recruiting momentum going. You know, no matter where it happens. But I think getting one from the Pacific Northwest, and this was a player who had some connections to this coaching staff from, you know, Scott Frost's Oregon days, also had some like longer term Nebraska connections, you know, sort of back in the day with his family. And anytime you're going to beat out Oregon and Boise State, you know, I know that's not a traditional P5 power for people, but a program that's been really good and really consistent for a long time. I think that tells you something. He's got that speed. He's kind of got the playmaker gene that I think a lot of their commits on offense at the skill positions share so far in the 1.5 recruiting cycles they have. So it's good to see Nebraska maintain some, I guess, positive momentum, at least in my view, recruiting wise.
Brandon, at this point in the season, it's pretty evident that the offense has clicked so far. The defense is still a little lost here and there. So it's not going to be a surprise to see the offense roll through Bethune-Cookman this weekend, but to get some momentum, I think it's going into Ohio State to get some momentum, I think it's going to be important for the defense to show out on Saturday and not take the opponent lightly. So what would you say, fill in the blank, what does Nebraska need to do on Saturday defensively to consider it a success?
Stop the run is kind of first and foremost in my mind. And Bethune-Cookman, you know, their starting quarterback is dangerous. We know they're probably going to play multiple quarterbacks in this game. Their best quarterback's a little bit dinged, so we'll see how much he plays. But as you kind of look ahead a little bit towards what Nebraska is going to need to do and hope to do against Ohio State, the Buckeyes haven't run the ball really well at all, which is shocking. Dwayne Haskins has not been much of a run threat, and it'll be interesting next week as we really dig into that game to see what we can see in terms of why they haven't run the ball so well. But I think Dwayne Haskins not being, you know, kind of not being Braxton Miller-like is a big part of that. So if Bethune-Cookman were to come in here and just kind of run the ball at a healthy 5.5 yards per game, that would be a little bit of a disappointment in my view in terms of what I'm expecting on Saturday.
Brendan Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, as we're talking Nebraska Bethune-Cookman, and we zoom out a little bit. Bigger picture, what's your reaction been to kind of the buzz this week on Lamar Jackson and Ben Stille? Two different stories about the black shirts. Stille saying, I'm good, I need to be better. Lamar coming all the way back from wanting to leave.
Yeah, well, you know, sort of regardless of where they stand in terms of the decision to wear a black jersey, both have been very good developments for Nebraska, obviously. I mean, I came into this season really high on Ben Stille, and I still really am. I would say at this point, like, I was expecting a little bit more, which isn't his fault. It's kind of my fault, and I think he's getting there. And to see and to be able to say the same about Lamar, given the way the season started for him specifically, but also just the defense in general, I think is a good sign for Nebraska. You know, we put up a really good story from Derek Peterson today about sort of the Oregon origins of, you know, at least a big part of Scott Frost's coaching philosophy. And as I was going through that again this morning, get that ready to go, you know, it was interesting to look back at how many of those Oregon sources that Derek spoke with talked about, yeah, it was about 5 or 6 games in before things really started to click. And we have guys from Oregon that were saying that when Chip Kelly took over there. And we have guys that are now at Nebraska saying that about UCF. So it's an interesting time period for Nebraska, because this kind of feels like whatever you thought coming in, they're a little bit back on schedule now.
They are. And guys, we'll talk to Luke Gifford here in about 5 minutes, our conversation with him. And he gets into detail about the team meeting that he had, or the captain's meeting he had with Scott Frost. So that'll be must listen to. But no, I mean, it feels like things are settling down and ownership's being grasped by the team. And that's really big for Lamar, because this is a guy that, if it wasn't going to go well and it hadn't gone well, we thought he'd bolt, right? Like everybody else from California. And he manned up. He stepped up and he's working hard. Ben Stille, I've got to take, my take is that I appreciate the bar he wants to reach. And I don't think he's the last guy ever to say, look at me, give me attention, I'm trying to cause a distraction. He honestly felt after film session that he didn't deserve a black jersey. I appreciate him stepping forward on that.
Yeah, I would agree. It's, you know, that's one of those things where it's really tough to assess from outside, because I agree with you. Like, Ben isn't that the kind of guy. He's like, I'm going to make this about me by turning this down. But I also think for a certain segment, or to a certain degree, you almost can't do that without
causing a distraction.
going to that point. And, you know, it's not like I think it's a huge problem, but you just wonder, you're sort of forced to wonder for the guys who got one this week and who were happy to get one. Mm-hmm. Like, well, he said no. So
what's he think? What's he think of us?
Yeah. So what are we supposed to do? So there's all those. I don't think it's a huge issue either way, but you know, it's funny because hearing you say that, you know, I hadn't really thought that, you know, as recently as a few weeks ago, you know, when Nebraska was kind of coming up on that red shirt, I guess, deadline, you know, that point where it made sense for guys to go if they were going to go. You know, Lamar was in that group. And here we are, you know, 3 weeks later, essentially. And you're looking at a Nebraska team over the next 5 games, and this Saturday is a little bit different and separate from that. But you're looking at a team that I think people expect to have a shot to win all of their remaining games. And that's pretty interesting for a team that's 1-6.
Let's go there. We've got about 90 seconds, and I've spent half of this week kind of conjuring up Ohio State thoughts in my mind, okay? And it's been very bad in Columbus. Yeah. All right. There's been executions on live public TV. That's an FCC violation. You got a minute now, and I'll shut up. I think they can do this. Or am I high, and does Nebraska get pummeled because Ohio State's got 10 days to be pissed off?
No, I don't think you're high. Like, I think Nebraska has a great shot to win all of its remaining games. Now, it probably, the way things shook out with Ohio State having a bye week, with it being a high profile, you know, people are digging in saying, what's going on there? Are there issues between the AD and Urban Meyer? All of that stuff probably doesn't make it any easier for Nebraska. They're not going to walk into that game and be underestimated because Ohio State now has something to prove to its own fan base and itself. But even so, you just look at the matchup in terms of Nebraska being able to move the ball and Ohio State struggling to stop some people. I think you look at that one worst case scenario as a shootout that should be pretty fun, which again, you go back to Nebraska's record and how things started. If you're a Husker fan, I think you would have taken that 3 weeks ago.
No, I'll take this opportunity. We'll see how things go Saturday. Vogue's great work this week with HailVarsity.com and Magazine Bud. We'll check in with you on Saturday morning. Thanks for the time today.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks.
Awesome. There he is, Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Luke Gifford, captain, outside linebacker, next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Luke Gifford's back with us here on Hail Varsity. Luke, take me through Saturday, kickoff to a post-game celebration. What sticks out to you?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a good team win. I think it was kind of the first week that we had everything clicking, you know, there in the first half, and kind of firing on all cylinders. The offense played really well. We had some good stops and did some good things on defense, and then, you know, the second half, Minnesota made some plays, Coach Nander talks about it before the game. You know, it's like a boxing match. There's going to be haymakers that land, you know, so you got to be ready to roll with the punches and keep throwing them. And I thought we did a good job of that. Got a couple big stops, and Dedrick's pick there on the goal line was big too. So I thought we did some really good things, and it was definitely a good team win.
What's that like to have the lead? It got tight, and then defense responded. You know what Adrian and the offense did. How are you feeling? Because are you going to be able to play free, or do you tighten up with things getting close?
Yeah, you know, I think that might have been one of the biggest areas that we improved on. I think maybe against Northwestern, there was a little bit of that tightness, you know, and people starting to kind of think about it. But I thought on Saturday we played free still, and we went out there and did what we were supposed to do. You know, I think that's probably the biggest difference between this week and last week. And honestly, I maybe wouldn't have said that after the Northwestern game, but seeing the difference between the two games, I think that definitely was the case.
You guys can talk about it, but how were you able to go execute it, that free factor?
Yeah, you know, it's not easy, but I think what we've been doing in practice here the last couple of weeks has really allowed us to do that. Just our training, you know, Coach Nander always talks about we fall back on our training, we don't rise to the occasion. So I think that's a great testament to what we've been doing and how much better we've been in practice the last couple of weeks.
Can you give me some specifics on what you guys did in practice, be it situational defense or here's a look you'll see, be ready for it, and then obviously practice making perfect with it, but how he was able to get it ready and then let you guys go do your thing?
Right. You know, I think it was a little bit of both. I think the biggest thing was assignment-wise, we've just been a lot better. And, you know, last week against Northwestern, there was some fundamental breakdown, you know. And I think part of that is just being in that situation and then actually being in that situation once and having the experience helped out a lot, you know. And that's something that sometimes practice can't necessarily do for you. But then taking that experience and carrying it into a week of practice and knowing what to expect and all that, I'd definitely say that helped out.
Few minutes here, Luke Gifford's joining us, Hail Varsity Radio. So in the post game, I've seen enough of it on social media. It makes a lot of Nebraska folks smile. But what did you notice from Coach Frost in that moment?
Yeah, it was definitely pretty emotional, you know. You could tell how much it meant to him. And then just being able to see him happy, you know. I mean, I know these last few weeks have been wearing on him and the whole team in general. So it was good to finally get him one, you know. It was long overdue, but there's going to be a lot of games that he wins here. So I'm happy and proud to be a part of that first one.
Lots been talked about with the senior class laying the foundation. What's that mean to you?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is the culture and the accountability, you know, and I think that's came a long ways, and especially in the last couple weeks. And, you know, to me, obviously this year hasn't gone the way that we wanted it to. We still have some games left that we can go out there and win and get this thing rolling in the right direction. You know, I think obviously bowl game is still what we're shooting for, and I think we can do that. And if we can do that, we can definitely give this thing some momentum and get it rolling.
Take me back about a month. I think it's right after the Purdue game, and Coach Frost mentioned it, that I had four captains come to my office on their off day. How did that moment transpire with you and the three other captains? The results, you've been playing better, you got the win. What prompted that from you and the other seniors?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing for us was that we didn't want to let this year go to waste, you know. And I think that in the position we were at, it could either go one way or the other. And it, basically what it was just, we're not going to let it go the other way. You know, we want to be remembered for the team and the guys that set the tone for this thing and got it rolling. We don't want to just be another class. It was a waste of a year for this program, you know, and I think that was the biggest thing. And we knew that what needed to be done, and Coach Frost knew what needed to be done. But when you have a great mind like him with all that wisdom and especially, you know, he's learned from Coach Osborne and been around some great coaches. You want to use him as much as you can as a player, and he's been there. He's been in that position. So we felt like going to him and talking to him about it and seeing what his ideas were was the best thing that we could do, and I think it's definitely paid off for us.
Does it start with you texting guys? Did guys text you? I mean, who got the domino going?
Gerald and Mick and I all live together, so, you know, we went home after the game, and it was pretty evident that as we're sitting there on our couch and watching other teams play and do well, that something needed to be done or said, you know, and so we shot Stan a text and we're like, hey, you up for this? And we just decided that we're going to go see Coach Frost the next day, and that's kind of how it went down, you know. And then some of the other leaders like Mo Berry on defense, and obviously there's other guys, but he's one of the first guys that come to mind, you know, let him in on it and see what they think. And we all shared the same thoughts, so it definitely paid off.
Do you like being asked about that situation, or do you wish it maybe wouldn't have got out?
You know, I don't really mind. I think at first there's something. Obviously, it's easy to speculate, and things are said. You know, we're under a magnifying glass. You know, and it, as it should be. I understand that as a fan. You know, I don't really mind that people know. You know, I think it's good that they know that we're trying to turn every stone, you know, and figure out what to do to get this thing rolling in the right direction.
Take me through your the defense and how it's progressed, and the linebackers specifically, and your comfort level as a guy that gets after the quarterback, but also the responsibility, the less glamorous side when you're having to set the edge,
right,
as well. I mean, because
yeah,
you did both on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, it definitely is an adjustment, and it kind of changes week to week depending on who we're playing and the game plan, you know. So I've kind of, you know, there's a couple weeks there earlier this year where I didn't do much, didn't have much of an impact in games, and those were games that I was setting the edge and spilling pullers and stuff like that, you know. And so I went to Coach DeWitt and just asked, what do I need to do to be able to do my job and still make plays, you know, because at the end of the day, the defense needs me to be doing things and making plays and causing trouble for the offense. And so that was something I really started focusing on. I think it was the week of Wisconsin. It was after the Purdue game. And, you know, Coach DeWitt, I just told him, coach me as hard as you can in every area, you know, and I think that really it translated to the rest of the outside backers. And, you know, Mo and Dedrick are always going to make plays, or whoever's in there at middle linebacker. But I think as outside backers as a group, we kind of started to focus on not just setting the edge, but making a play while we're setting the edge. So the overall level of comfortableness has gone up, you know, and I'm excited to play in it. It's fun week to week. It's different and get to do some different things. So I've really enjoyed it.
Luke Gifford's with us here on Hail Varsity. Luke, what's JoJo bring to the party? Because the depth chart's out, and he is now an option, an outside linebacker. And I've seen him fly down and smoke people on special teams, but now is a guy to help with that pass rush. What's that mean for you?
Yeah, you know, he's definitely going to be a huge help. He's a really physical kid, good size, who obviously can cover. You know, he's a safety, so he's what you want in an outside field outside backer. So he gives us another dimension that we don't necessarily have. I mean, guys can do some things that he can, but he's a little bit unique to the group, you know. So it'll be fun. And he's a smart kid, so I think he'll pick it up pretty fast. And there's a lot of carryover from safety to outside backer. So he should be – I know he's excited. He should be a great add to the group.
Will you be at Seacrest Friday evening?
I don't think I'll be able to make it because of the game. I'll be in the hotel, but I'll definitely be listening. I'm excited for it.
All right, Luke Gifford, and he prediction, Southeast, Southwest?
Southeast, I'm going to go 21-17 Knights.
There we go. Luke, take care, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, there you go. Southeast Knights saying another nail-biter against Southwest. That's what he says for the Friday night opening round of the playoffs. Good stuff from Luke Gifford. And pretty cool of him to take us into that meeting. And what prompted it back at the Gifford Casa with the two other captains. We'll wind down a Thursday Hour 1 with Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We'll have Thursday night college football picks from Casino Danny and some NFL thoughts. Next hour, open phones, 525 and beyond. Ralph Brown is 10 minutes away. Been an interview-heavy first hour. Had to rearrange some things. Appreciate you tuning into that. Want to remind you about Madonna Proactive. Danny, I got a mile in between shows today.
Really?
Went and got a mile. You're going,
pfft. From walking back and forth to the couch and the fridge? Or
no,
like,
brother. I went to Madonna and got a mile in. Got a good sweat going because some of us are obese.
Wait, a mile. So you didn't swim, you ran? Because typically a swimmer, though, right?
I walked briskly. Or I trudged.
That works, too.
Picture Tommy Boy, okay?
You need the guy with the tuba behind you walking.
I do. Picture, I'm Peter Griffin. I'm going side to side here. That's what happened. But I got some sweating in before coming back for round two. And Madonna Proactive, tell you what, it's a great time of year, the biggest sale of the year. Pay nothing until January when you get signed up and take the tour. Check out just the best facility the Capital City's got to offer. 402-420-0000, madonnaproactive.org. Strength training equipment, cardio machines, basketball courts, pickleball, three pools. And I tell you what, they have the Aqua Track, the only Aqua Track in Lincoln, and a walking track upstairs. On top of that, 130 classes. You like yoga, you like TRX, you like kickboxing, Madonna Proactive, where you got to be. And I tell you what, you pay nothing till January 2019. And they also offer you a Therapy Plus, Madonna Physicians Therapy Plus. They get your son or daughter or yourself back in the game if you've been diagnosed with a concussion. So they do it all. Health and fitness for you. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Thanks so much to Luke Gifford for giving us some time. Brandon Vogel, Gary Barnett, live from West Virginia. I did not feel, we didn't have time to ask him, but I was going to ask him if he ever witnessed anybody burning a couch in West Virginia, because they do that to celebrate. They torch the couches that are on the front porches, the students. This isn't a look at that West Virginian joke. This is a fact where they torch couches. I did like his response to the guy pissing off the Florida State football team in 05.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was pretty good. He's still angry about it. I couldn't believe. I swear that Miami like did something to the Buffalo at midfield back when they played in the mid. This might have been before he was there as the head coach. Mm-hmm. Let's get you qualified for Nebraska, Iowa, the Black Friday road trip with ESPN at Hail Varsity. Caller 8 and 9 qualify right now.
Worse. How could they get any worse? We're at the threshold of hell!
Is this heaven?
It's Iowa.
The jolliest bunch of fools this side of the nut house.
Hey, you know, America loves points.
Thank you, Bob Diaco. America loves points. 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. It's what you dial in to get qualified for the Black Friday Roadie. That's tickets, that's hotel, that's gas from Super C. That is a Jet Splash gift card to wash the Iowa off your rig. And it gets you away from the in-laws. Maybe you are the in-laws, and it's time to go. Could be for the Big Ten West. Brandon Vogel told you how that happens. Caller 8 and 9. Ralph Brown's up next with Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. Good stuff in Hour 1. Brandon Vogel, Gary Barnett, Luke Gifford. We say hi to Hall of Famer, 10-year NFL vet, and an All-American. Played since he was stepped foot on campus. Ralph Brown, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, you on your Twitter bio, you say you're a foodie. What's for dinner tonight?
I don't know yet, but I'm always trying new stuff, and I love food, and I love cooking, too, but I don't know what's for dinner yet. I'm usually a last-minute type of person.
That's fine. I'm going to stay with food for 2 seconds before we get into football, or you hang up, one or the other. What have you adventured into food-wise that you never thought you'd be eating? What have you broadened your horizon to?
I tried caramelized frog legs.
And, what?
Yeah, caramelized frog legs. And then I did lobster and waffles the other day.
Really?
Do the
frog legs taste like chicken?
Yeah, a little bit. But when you caramelize anything, that's what helps the flavor.
No, I know. I hear you. No, it's a good answer. How was the lobster and waffles?
It actually was pretty good. I had it at a restaurant out here in Southern California, but it's the pairing of the syrup that made it taste really good and the way they made the waffles. I was a little bit apprehensive at first, but I like to try new things. So when I tried it, the pairing of the waffles, how they made it, and then the syrup, it made the lobster and the waffles taste pretty good together.
Was it just normal maple, or was it a special syrup?
it was a special syrup, and then it was almost like a peach kind of combination, a waffle, and then the syrup was really good, too. I don't remember the actual flavor of it, but everything that, you know, the trio of mixes with the waffles, the syrup, and the lobster, it made it taste really good.
Okay, okay. So let's go from food to football. What type of flavor combination is Nebraska football right now?
Well, they're on an upward trajectory. If you look at the game against Minnesota, how the defense played, you know, overcoming adversity at some times throughout the game, the offense, top five offense in total yards rushing and total offense. So, I mean, they're doing a great job. And just to have the fan base show up for a team that's 0-6, everyone's still supporting, I think Nebraska's on the way back to the top, but it's going to take a slow process, and we're finally taking that step forward.
I want to get your take on two black shirts. Well, one that's waiting to be a black shirt by his own accord, and one that got his black shirt finally. Let's start with a kid you know well, Lamar Jackson. And Lamar is man, he's been through a lot of ups and downs and got thrown out there probably too early as a corner, even though he played safety. What's been your reaction to how he's handled things? You know, he thought about leaving. You know, he didn't like being benched, but a one-on-one with Coach Chenander and Frost changed everything for him. That probably doesn't surprise you, but how do you assess Lamar's maturity right now?
I think he's handled the situation pretty good, but you always need a coach, the coordinator, head coach, position coach, to get behind you and infuse that confidence inside of you when you're going through tough times. And with Lamar Jackson, he played early, made a lot of mistakes, struggled with his confidence, and didn't live up to the hype that everyone had for him coming into the season and the seasons at Nebraska. But for him to go through a lull, have the adversity, you know, lose the starting position, and then kind of gain everything back, gain his confidence back, and have the support of the coaches and get the black shirt, that says a lot about him wanting to quit at first and then getting that confidence back and being part of the team. I think that says a lot about the young man and the coaching staff with Coach Frost and Chenander as well.
I mean, they handled that beautifully. And I think the story was from the World Herald, and they did a great job with it. You want to be a pro, act like a pro. They were tired of his antics. Did his antics ever weigh on you? And let me ask you this. Did you ever reach out to him at all, or did you just kind of stay away?
Well, I kind of stay away. I tend to think that some of the coaches and different people in the university could kind of help those young guys mm-hmm. on the team. But, you know, sometimes guys are spoiled. They don't never go through adversity. And then when adversity slaps them in the face, they don't know how to handle it. The first thing they think to do is quit, go home, and give up. But when you have a coach and players that believe in you, they tell you, hey, look, this is part of life. Let's keep fighting. We believe in your talents. We know you're great. You wouldn't be here, you know, if we didn't think so. That's the kind of words that you need to hear from a coach, so then you can believe in yourself and resuscitate how you want to play the game and get back to that top level. And Lamar Jackson is one of those players that can get back to that. The potential for him is through the roof, and we'll see what happens moving forward. But I'm excited about how Scott Frost, he handled it, Lamar Jackson, and Chenander as well.
Ralph Brown's with us, Hall of Fame Husker, 10-year NFL vet, two times to the Super Bowl, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. What's your take on Ben Stille? Came from film session, said, you know what? I can't do it. I didn't play up to the level. I didn't play up to the standard. How are you as a black shirt, a four-year black shirt? How do you react to that?
I love guys that have that standard, and there are certain standards that I carried when I played the game of football of what I felt like I wasn't living up to. And when you have a guy that's like that, his standard, Ben Stille saying, hey, look, I don't deserve my black shirt yet, that says a lot about his standard and what type of players that you have on your team. And those are the guys that you want to lean on, get behind, and you know that they want to live up to what they truly believe the black shirt is. And if Ben Stille is not saying, if he's saying, I don't want to take my black shirt, he knows how high the black shirt is coveted and how he wants to represent the brand of being a black shirt. My hat goes off to him for that. And once he gets his black shirt, which I know he will, I think that'll be awesome.
I'm wondering how is that something you saw or did? I mean, was there ever doubt with you about playing up to that level, or did you witness anything like that when you were down at Nebraska?
I didn't witness anything like that, but there were certain guys on the team that we felt like played at a high level. But the thing was, Nebraska already had that black shirt standard in place, and it was just for us to draft off of it from the guys that were there before us. No, it's lost its luster, it's lost its standard, and a lot of times, a lot of people forgot what a black shirt actually represents, and that's been tossed around over the past years but now they're trying to bring it back. And Ben still knows, hey, look, I know what the standard of the black shirt is, and I want to lift it, you know, up to the apex of where I feel like it is, and I don't feel like I'm playing like that. But, you know, a lot of guys didn't do that when I was there, but for someone to do that, Ben still carry that standard, my hat goes off to him.
Well, and let's be straight. When you were there, I mean, it was McBride and it was the Peters and Wistrom. I mean, so, I mean, it was crystal clear that you needed to play at a certain level, and or your peers would let you know, correct?
Exactly. And that's how it's been for a while. But, you know, the identity was stripped of the black shirt over the years, and then guys didn't really know what the standard was. Certain defensive coordinators probably lowered the standard of what being a black shirt was, and Ben Steele wants to put that high up, and I feel like the black shirt does need to be lifted and vaulted up really high so guys understand how they have to carry themselves on and off the field, their commitment, giving 110%, you know, being selfless to your teammates, and, you know, a multitude of other things, and I think it's getting back to that.
Ralph, I wanted to get your take on Adrian. You have followed him. You had a chance to see him in high school. Are you shocked at how well he's playing?
Well, not at all. And for me, to just see his junior film and what he did at his junior year, I can look at potential and where people are headed. And when I saw his junior season and what the potential he could be, he was a four-star athlete. I said he was a five-star coming into Nebraska. I truly believe that. And then for him to play with his skill set, pocket awareness, great accuracy down the field, and his speed, you couple that with Troy Walters and Scott Frost, Tutelage, and those guys and their offensive schemes, I knew that Adrian Martinez would be a tremendous quarterback, and I'm not shocked about what he's doing and what he did last week against Minnesota.
I know we're about 10 days out, maybe a little less than, but have you peeked ahead to Ohio State at all?
Yeah, a little bit, but I've been trying to just focus on each game that we have as a Huskers team. We're just trying to get past, you know, Bethune-Cookman right now. But I looked at the schedule. I looked at Ohio State and what they've been doing and kind of how they're a little struggling right now with their identity, struggling on defense a bit and not really gaining the rhythm that they thought they would have, you know, from the season.
I've peeked ahead, Ralph, and it never gets out of you guys. You're like, well, one game at a time. Everyone's important. And was that always in you, or was it by about game three as a Husker, you're like, okay, it really is important, one game at a time?
Well, I think players always look ahead, but you got to pull yourself back. Like, you go ahead to that game, you're excited, you know the trash you might be talking or how that game's going to be, but then you pull yourself back and say, hey, look, we have Bethune-Cookman this week. We have to handle these guys this week, take care of our business, and then after that, go on to the next game and then so on and so forth. So a lot of guys do it, but we don't like to admit it, but you just can't stay there. If you stay there, then that's how you lose games. That's how you make mistakes. And, you know, I try to make sure that, hey, look, we do one game at a time because you don't want to focus too far ahead, and that's when you can, you know, lose, you know, the previous game leading up to that.
Ralph, let's switch gears and talk some NFL. I got to ask you, did you ever get to cover Coach Walters? Did you guys ever cross paths in the NFL?
No, I didn't, but we have a lot of respect for each other. I was on an All-American team with Troy Walters my senior year in 1999. He's a great guy, had a great college career, and he's just a great person just from his family, how he's coaching now, how he's been coaching with Scott Frost. And my hat goes off to him watching him from his pro career and then now coaching. He's been just a great athlete and just a great person overall.
Okay, Ralph, give me your top four, your NFL power rankings.
Oh, top four. Okay. Right now I'm going to go Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Patriots.
Okay.
Three, I'm going to go Chiefs.
Okay.
And then four is a good half. That four spot.
Vikes?
Saints.
Saints over Minnesota. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Four. So you've got Kansas City and L.A. squaring off here, and I think, 10 days a week down in Mexico City. What is the Achilles heel, in your opinion, for the Rams? What could trip them up from getting to the Super Bowl? What could trip them up from winning this year? They're unbeaten. I don't think they'll go unbeaten. But what have you seen? I know they're in your backyard. What is there any lack of faith in them at all?
No, none at all. This team has it all. This team is balanced on offense. They're breaking some of the records that Kurt Warner and his offense were doing with the greatest show on turf. Their defense has a D-line, great secondary, linebackers to fly around, led by Ogletree. And when you talk about what the Rams can do for them to not make it to the Super Bowl or lose, they would have to be injuries. In my case, I think if they get riddled with injuries or get some key positions that are out for a while, I think that's the only thing that can stop this Rams team. I mean, they're balanced everywhere. They have the top back in the NFL, in my opinion. The offensive line is good. Jared Goff, you look at the way he throws a deep ball, Cooper Kupp in that offense. I mean, they have the perfect team, and I feel like if they don't get ahead of themselves and they take one game at a time, just like we talked earlier, and then know how to handle the playoffs and carry that hunger from losing last year, I think they'll make it to the Super Bowl.
Ralph, this has been historically one of the highest scoring seasons in NFL history. As a defensive player, what are your thoughts on that? Are you kind of sad to see it so high scoring, or are you kind of fine watching it as a fan, seeing all these points put up?
I like the high scoring games because that, you know, adds the grandeur, it adds the excitement to the games. But every now and then you want to see some games that are 10-3, 6-3, sometimes 9-7. And the case that in the NFL, we're not seeing that. We're seeing so much scoring and so much explosiveness. And then it makes it hard to judge how good quarterbacks are, who's going to go into the Hall of Fame in the future, because these numbers are going to be so inflated because the game is catered to offensive players. But I enjoy it. I just don't like the fact that defensive backs can't jam up. They're throwing a lot of penalties. They can't tackle the quarterback and drive the quarterback away all the way through. And those are frustrating. But, you know, that's the name of the game. The points sell tickets, and you just have to enjoy that.
Ralph, you can't breathe on wideouts now. You know that.
Yeah, of course. And it's frustrating. If my son wants to play football, he's not playing defense. He's going to play offense.
I never thought I'd say this publicly, but if my kid wants to play ball, and he is playing football, but go be a kicker, work 13 years, and make about $20
million. Exactly.
buy me a boat. Last thought, yes or no on the tears with Derek Carr. Did he cry? If he did, is it okay?
I think different injuries kind of conjure up and pull out different pain and tears from guys. I got injured, lacerated my kidney, and I tore my pec off and my labrum. But sometimes tears are because you know you're going to be out for a week or two. Mm-hmm. If you actually cried from the pain, then that's something for your teammates to actually get on you about, because you shouldn't really be crying about pain. You should be crying because you might be out for a week or two.
So I'm going to ask, I got 30 seconds. Did you cry with the kidney laceration and the tearing of said pec?
No, I didn't cry. I didn't cry either time. It just the burn. It was one of the most intense burning pains in my shoulder that I felt when I was playing against the Saints, when I tore my labrum and my pec tore off as well. So I didn't cry, but it just, I was sad about having to be put on IR.
No, I got it. Man, you tore your pec.
Yeah, am I laboring on the same play?
And then Ralph just said, get me some dirt. Let me rub some dirt on it. I'm okay. Hall of Famer Ralph Brown. And try the lobster and waffles at Casa de Ralph. At Ralph D. Brown is where you find him on Twitter, Husker Hall of Famer. Ralph, you're the best, man. Great to get caught up and talk some football. We'll do it again. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, you too, brother. Thank you.
See you, man. There he is. Ralph Brown with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Good stuff. We had to go with the food because Ralph always tweets out pictures, whether it's a fabulous dessert, whether he's doing some sort of carne asada fajitas at Fajita Night at Ralph's. I love lobster. Lobster's the biggest pain in the neck to eat. But once you finally get the meat, it's wonderful. But for him to go lobster and waffles with kind of a peach glaze and syrup, that's big time. Open phone till 6. Come on and join us. It's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, it's Hail Varsity.
I know what that means.
With Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke.
Good stuff from Ralph Brown. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 466-377-6800. 825-5865. Went around the world there. The NFL, college football, and Nebraska with Ralph Brown. You can find us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Hail Varsity, and as always at Danny Burke 5. Find and follow on Twitter. Some thoughts from Scott Frost. And this is one thing I got to ask. I got to ask if you're there's a little sliver of doubt in your mind, not about Nebraska winning Saturday, but about Nebraska respecting their opponent. Are they going to go in locked in? Because it's been a different schedule for the team this week. And Scott Frost did say, yeah, it's been a great Thursday, the best Thursday we've had. He says that every Thursday, but that means the practices are getting better, and they're getting better this week than they were last week. That's great. But the discussion's been had, right, about Nebraska going out there and respecting the game, respecting Bethune-Cookman.
I just talked to him about it. Every week we want to approach it like we're playing a nameless, faceless opponent. It doesn't matter who we're playing. Our standard stays the same. If we're better than we were last week, then we're moving in the right direction. And it doesn't matter if we're playing Ohio State or Bethune-Cookman. We need to be at our best, and we need to play better than we did last week. So the guys have approached practice that way this week, and we'll make sure their mentality is right to do that on Saturday.
And you had a classic case of this. You've had it with two MAC schools. Northern Illinois, last season. You had Troy this week because you just think you're going to show up and wear the red N, and it's going to work out. Remember the McNeese State game? I mean, you still see gifs of that from Amir. You still watch that.
That was like one of the first games I went to.
Right, and didn't it scare the hell out of you?
I was like, what's going on here?
I'm in the press box, and I mean, I'm just like, this is gonna suck. This is game two of the season. I think it's right before Miami. The U comes into town. That place, man, Nebraska was out for blood Saturday night when the U was in town. That was great. But, I mean, it takes Super Amir to bail him out, where it's a Heisman run against an FCS opponent.
Yeah, me and my buddies out of state were like, I thought this is Nebraska football. What's going on here? We shouldn't have to worry about this. And then we saw Amir break out. We're like, yep, that looks more like it. Excited to see what this guy can do.
Oh, it was great.
Great
season.
And
then there was a fumble against Purdue with Amir.
Mm-hmm.
He dove and saved the possession. And one of Purdue's fat guys fell on Amir's knee, and he wasn't ever this. I mean, he got drafted and was fine, right? But he wasn't normal Amir against Sparty. Tell you that.
It's kind of like with DeMornay. He was amazing his freshman year. Still had a good rest of his collegiate career, but I think he was hindered a little bit after he battled with constant injuries those first couple years.
That sucked.
Yeah.
Because he was electrifying. He was still good. I mean, he was back to top speed, but I mean, he lost a year.
He was a Devin Hester of the Big Ten easily.
No, he was good. We are tweeting out a picture of Ralph Brown's lobster and waffles. So this is a good thing. So are you worried at all about Bethune-Cookman? And are you worried more about Nebraska kind of keeping this maturity? And we talked to Luke Gifford a little less than an hour ago, and we didn't really get into, are you going to respect the opponent? We talked more about how things shook out on Saturday and how him and the other captains kind of got this team together and have moved forward post-Purdue. To have Saturday happen, to have almost the win against Northwestern, and then to try and generate, create some momentum, and become bowl eligible. Here's the reality. You got attention spans in this world, in this life, that are fleeting, very guilty. It's all about you and convenience. From podcasts to Netflix. And it's fine. That's just, it is what it is, right? It's on your timetable. It's on your terms. It's about your convenience. And it's natural for guys to get up for the big games. It's a showcase against Penn State. It's a showcase against Ohio State. It's the Buffs, man. Nebraska-Colorado rivalry. That they were told about, thankfully, and shown about, thankfully. But here comes Troy. Not interested. Different Troy team. Said all the right things. Hey, got to respect them. They beat LSU. Didn't happen. I think this team has gone through so much garbage with being 0-6, the only team to do that ever. to have their head coach, who they really care about, and he knows that he cares about them, to have their heart ripped out a couple, three times this year. I think they are locked in to be really competing at a high level. And they know that they are still going to spin their tires at some points and parts because it is new. It's a work in progress. But they're reaching the point of the season, man, where it's going to get easier from a knowing what the hell you're supposed to do. The attention to detail has been stressed from day one. And I think the light has come on for a lot of guys. We spent a lot of time this week talking about Ben Stilley and Lamar Jackson. Total opposites from just the reputation of give a damn, right? Me versus we. And right now, they're kind of on the same page. One's a black shirt, one isn't. And if you were to put money down, who is going to be a black shirt first? We'd all lost. It wasn't a contest I'm talking about, but you have guys striving to be really, really great, despite 1-6. That's all you need to know about heading into Bethune-Cookman. That they are about trying to be grinders, to be really, really good, and they're about trying to play perfect football. And they've been very, very, very far from it. But they're inching closer. They're seeing it, man. They're seeing the what. They're seeing themselves get better. They can be proud of that and then go out and play ball. And just let it fly. Their goal is very fierce. They want to win out and go to a bowl game. And every game matters. They believe that is the difference. They can say it all they want, and teams say it all they want. And teams will have a flat performance or a letdown. That is going to happen. But when do you snap out of it? How long do you let folks hang around? And I guess my next progression here, we'll get to the phones in a minute, is there's a couple of ways things can get interesting and dicey for you on Saturday as a Nebraska football fan. You run out of Bloody Mary mix, and then Nebraska decides to go back to being very awful at special teams. Okay? I'm from a block punt and a punt return and a kickoff return standpoint. That's how these non-Power 5 schools can hang around. If you're a Troy, if you're a Northern Illinois, if you're a Bethune-Cookman, is you get your dirty points off of turnovers and special teams. There's your extra drive. There's your extra three. There's your extra seven. Derek's been on hold. Derek, thanks for your patience, man. Go ahead.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, too. I'm not worried about this game, but I think this is a huge game in kind of proving to the outside world, outside of that locker room, about how the culture change is going and how everything really seems to be going that we hear about every time we hear a press conference. Because if they come out running and just smash Bethune-Cookman, I think it's going to prove to a lot of people that, hey, something good's going on here.
It's a good point, man. Thanks for the phone call. It is. Are you going to back up your words? Will you do that for us? I like it. Danny, what's your take on this thing, brother?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no way they're going to overlook Bethune-Cookman, and it's not because of a talent standpoint. It's as simple as Frost isn't going to let it happen again, and the players aren't going to let it happen again, especially after Troy. It's not that Troy's a bad team, and you should have been expecting Nebraska to win regardless.
Troy's a different team than they were a year ago.
Right.
Three plays?
Mm-hmm. They're still solid, though. I mean, obviously, if it's your normal into Nebraska team, it should be a blowover game. But in this transition and the way we've seen the rest of the season pan out, you look back and you're like, okay, maybe we shouldn't have been so determined on Nebraska with everything that's gone on. Obviously, that's a lot easier said now. But no, I don't think Nebraska is going to look over Bethune-Cookman one bit. I think it will be a blowout. And, yeah, I mean, you make a good point. The only reason Nebraska could struggle is because if the special teams doesn't do their job. And I don't think that's going to have anything to do with kicking field goals, extra points. It's going to be punt returns, kickoff returns. If Nebraska can prevent them from getting good yardage, then it should be a smooth game.
Well, the other part of this, too, I mean, don't kid yourself. It is – there is some temptation there, right? It is – this is a good test. Are you disciplined? Are you paying attention to detail?
I think it's a huge test for the defense specifically, too.
Can you go do you? Can you play much better defensively? Can you not have a 22-0 Jerry Tarkanian run put against you? And can you do it all with Ohio State off in the distance? That's the other thing, is kids are so prone to looking ahead. And you saw it, right? You saw it with... Look at Penn State on a Friday night against the Illini. How the hell was that close? And then Penn State wakes up and scores 45 unanswered. And you saw it last year. Ohio State just came back from death to beat Penn State. What happens? Well, it's typical 8-5 try-hard Iowa. Then Iowa drops the hammer several times and you get worked by 29. Teams that are elite... not named Alabama, screw up. Clemson was on upset alert this year.
Against Syracuse.
Damn near lost to Syracuse at home, despite the quarterback mess. Michigan State thought they were just going to roll out there and walk all over poor little Northwestern. Didn't happen. Michigan's been pretty good, right? Michigan's found an edge or a reason to get angry and done all right.
They damn near blew it against Northwestern also.
Yeah. That was after the Nebraska game and a sleepy... I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying you're going to fluctuate, but how down is down and how up is up from an emotional standpoint. You're going to come out flat. How quickly do you throw cold water on your face? Good to have you in. It's a Wednesday. It's a Thursday with Hail Varsity. Dial us up 466-3776.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is, well, a bit damp and chilly outside. A perfect night to go sit in the hot tub. Stay hot, stay relaxed, just kind of thaw out. Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, spasonline.com, or off Industrial Road in Omaha, can make that a reality if you're just thinking about it versus doing it. Deb, you got a hot tub I'm sure you're looking at right now that's screaming, buy me and take me home.
That's right. And, you know, you mentioned all of our locations. We actually have another one starting tomorrow. It's our warehouse, and we're having our big end-of-year warehouse clearance. It starts tomorrow. You can go to our website and get the exact address, but it's actually just west of Highway 77 on West O.
Oh,
so kind of out close to the interstate. As you're coming into town for the game on Saturday, stop in and see us either before or after the game. We'll be there. But we've got all of our 2018 models that we have left in stock, marked way down. And so it's kind of a fun little thing that we can do in a different location. So we can maybe get people that wouldn't normally see our store. They'll see us out in North Lincoln.
Off of 77 in West O. A warehouse for Home Innovation Spas.
Yes.
End of year models, 2018, price to move. And I'm sure Deb will have the game on or be there to hug you after a win. So I'm saying
right. It's
a done deal. And
I think you're right.
If you talk her into it, maybe you'll let him stay to watch your Chiefs.
Oh, I'd love that. You bet. That'd be a party, and I think we're kind of going to make it a party atmosphere out there. So it'll be a fun time for us this weekend. And I know if you get to that, even to that general vicinity, We'll have signs, and we've got this huge hot air balloon type thing that'll be out in front. You can't miss us. You will find us.
That's Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. The new location we're telling you about, the warehouse just off Highway 77 in Westo. When you're coming in or heading out from Nebraska, if you're making your way in from any direction in the state of Nebraska, Deb will gladly be happy to see you off Industrial Road in Omaha. So look for the giant hot air balloon. Look for Deb saying touchdown. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of touchdowns on Saturday and Sunday. And Deb, you love people that even like the Denver Broncos, too. You'll take
it. I do. I'll high-five anybody.
I like that. Well, Deb, spasonline.com, if folks want the exact address, correct?
Yes, that is the place to go to get some more details, and that'll get you a map that you could actually click on, and it'll direct you right to us.
Man, so that sounds great. 2018 models that got to go. Sounds like the biggest hot tub party out on Westo, man. That sounds like a good time. Deb, we'll talk to you again and have a great weekend with this spa sale.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chris. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
There you go. Danny, I know you perked up. I say hot tub party, and Danny Burke's like, yes.
Always.
A hot tub party. What are some musts? Real quick, Danny, with this hot tub party, this etiquette. Clothes?
Sorry, my mic went out. I heard clothes, and then that was it. I didn't know if you said more, but I probably still have the same reaction.
That was such an uncomfortable. Are your parents listening? Am I just getting you worked here?
There's always a good chance.
Okay.
Clothes, you know, yeah, let's just go to the next question.
Oh, Daddy, I'm proud
no, that's
of
not,
you.
You
pause and you just, this, you're turning beet red. You look like the Arizona Diamondbacks road jersey right now, my friend.
Next question.
Yes! The Danny Burke hot tub party. Man, that's legendary. If half were alive, he'd want to come to Danny Burke's hot tub party.
I don't know about that, but
sure he would. What are you going to read me here?
I don't know. I thought we're getting to some
we're
games
get
here,
this,
man.
You're just anything. Just change the subject, brother. Okay, well, let's talk Barney ball. Gary Barnett's doing the West Virginia Baylor game. That kicks off in about 20 minutes. West Virginia is minus 13 and a half. Mm-hmm. This isn't quite the Friday forecast, but let's get into it a little bit.
The Thursday forecast.
The weekend forecast here. How are you feeling here? Baylor's not bad. I mean, they're 4-3. They've got athletes that can play ball. West Virginia's pretty decent. I know they got stung at Iowa State, but that happens to a lot of people.
Right.
With Coach Campbell there. What happens tonight?
I'm not
picking against you, by the way. These are you.
Okay. So Baylor's 5-1 against the spread versus West Virginia. And this is just a brief, like, we looked it up and some people wanted to know. So right off the top with just that information. I know West Virginia's great, but Baylor's nothing to just brush off. So I think
it's a cover by Baylor.
Yeah, I think Baylor will cover. West Virginia will get the win pretty easily.
You got an over-under for me?
I don't have the exact number.
That's okay.
But whatever it is, I think I would lean toward the over.
Just typically, it's going to be one of these Big 12,
41-35
ball games.
Yeah, let me pull up the score.
That's
really
fine.
If I
that's
can
fine.
Get it.
No, that's good. The next game is Ohio and Ball State, the Fighting Soliches. Against Ball State, Frank and Company minus 10.5 for the Bobcats of Ohio tonight. A little action going on Thursday night. What grabs you there, Danny, with Ohio and Ball State? You think Solich and Company are good for the 10.5 at home?
Yeah, I do. I just never hear anything great about Ball State. And, you know, Ohio's not terrible. They're 4-3, not a bad team. I think at home they have the advantage there going against Ball State 3-5. So I like them to cover. What was it, 10.5?
10.5.
Yeah, might be right there at 10, but I'll still go with 10.5.
Toledo's 3-4. They are getting 5 at Western Michigan. Looks like some of those oars still work to row. Western Michigan's at 6-2. What do you like here, Western Michigan or Toledo, and more action?
Well, I feel like it's only 5 for Western Michigan. I assume Toledo probably has played a pretty tough schedule despite their 3-4 record. Western Michigan at 6-2. Just because of home field advantage, I think I'd lean toward Western Michigan with just that 5-point spread. They'll probably get it by a touchdown.
Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech has had a moment to hang in and then man, the bottom falls out. Georgia Tech runs the option. Paul Johnson is hard to prepare for. Virginia Tech -3.5. They're at home. Virginia Tech, the Hokies are good Thursday night.
That's true.
Even though Georgia Tech is really tough to deal with. I think you got to go Virginia Tech here, don't you?
Yeah, it's one of those games where I wish it was at -3 instead of 3.5. But like you said, Virginia Tech started off well, and Georgia Tech just seems like a pain in the butt always. So I will take Virginia Tech because of that home field advantage.
All right, Georgia Southern 6-1, App State into the rankings for the first time in history. They have been a giant killer. App State -11 on the road. That is a monster number against a 6-1 team.
It really is. And we said the last time, we can't really go against App State, and they ended up winning. So we were right there. So that was my first thought looking into this game. And then I also looked deeper, and they are, let's see, they are 9-1 against the spread in their last 10 games. So I'm rolling with Appalachian State.
Baby. Even the 11? You're going to give a home team 11 points?
I know. It's tough. It's tough, but I got to go with the trend, baby.
All right. That's Danny Burke in your Thursday moment in being a degenerate. I love him. It's time to wind it down. We'll say goodbye next. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time, Hail Varsity Radio. Loaded show today. Get the podcast uploaded. It's free at hailvarsity.com or iTunes. We spoke with Brandon Vogel, Gary Barnett from West Virginia, Morgantown, that is, Luke Gifford. Great conversation with the senior captain. And then all-time great with Nebraska, Ralph Brown was with us. So lots to talk about with Nebraska, Bethune-Cookman, and around the world of college football. A reminder that every girl wants that one-carat diamond. How many of you can deliver that one-carat diamond? Your friends at Sauter Heyman are now making it possible with a spectacular one-carat diamond solitaire for just $100 a month. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day. To show her how much she means to you, whether it's a first ring or time to upgrade, Sauter Heyman has that for you. A one-carat diamond solitaire, just $100 a month. That is a winner. That's a deal. And there's locations for you to visit that can help make this a reality. Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. It's where you log on and take advantage of this deal. It's a limited time offer from Rick and the gang at Sauter Heyman, that one-carat diamond. So, NFL tonight, Deshaun Watson.
I was just going to say we have to redeem ourselves this week.
Yeah, that was awful.
Yeah.
Not as awful as, you know, Jim Kelly's nephew getting kicked off of every team he's been on. Okay, let me just ask this out loud. And we all know somebody who had questionable decision making, and maybe you got blasted at the Christmas party and you regret it the rest of your life. That can and will happen. But who goes to a defensive line's house named Von Miller? I mean, like, all pro, all world, bad dude. Like, bad dude. If you, like, would break a Voss of his or something, he's going to have security escort you out after punching you in the ribs repeatedly because you're just, you're barely off of practice squad. Who does that? Who goes and disrespects Von Miller in his own pad?
Well, it wasn't at his house where he did it, though, right? What do you mean? I thought it was a neighbor. He was trespassing in someone's house.
No, he got tossed out by, like...
Oh, originally he got tossed out.
Tossed out of Von Miller's house party for players. And he was loading. He went into the neighbor's house.
Okay.
No, the arrest makes sense.
Yeah.
But who gets so loaded that you have, like, physical altercations or attempted physical altercations where, hey, is this an ashtray? Break.
That's Swag Kelly, baby.
Dude, he's an idiot.
He is.
He's an idiot.
So stupid.
Right? You get kicked out of Clemson, and you land in Old Miss, where there's bags of money and honeys. Okay? You blow your knee, something fierce, like a four-wheeler drove over it. You still get picked up. John Elway thinks you can play ball. Now John Elway's got to take you out back and execute you. So there you go. Texans?
I think the line is at 7.5 last I saw. I would lean the Dolphins plus 7.5, maybe.
With the great Osweiler? Really?
Don't make me go the other way. I don't know. If anything, I'd do the over-under, and I would do the under for the game, I think. I think it's like 44 or something
like that. All right, so 24 to 20. Something like that. I don't watch my Dolphins anymore. I just like Snowflake. Tomorrow, find us at the Graduate Roadshow, Friday, 4 o'clock, 9th and P. Be there with Hail Varsity.